We go. Good evening, everyone. Get the camera adjusted as we always have to do. There we are. Get a few things out of the way. We'll get to them in a minute. There we are. Perfect. Or as about as good as we can get it. Thank you, Doug, for letting me know that everything was working ahead of time here. And just double check it for me. And we'll launch into things. I hope you enjoy the music. I usually start about 40 to 45 minutes before we go live with the live stream with music. And okay, have a good evening, Doug. Have a safe one. He's just messaging me that everything's okay. The last piece that I played there, I wanted to let it run its course. It was a nice piece. I enjoy listening to these as we prepare for the live stream. And I hope you do as well. And I'll probably, for the next live stream, I will have some new musical selections. Sunday, we will be out of town. So Sunday, we will not be able to provide a live stream. I would like to do a live stream on Saturday night, but I don't think we're going to have time for that on Saturday night as well. It's going to be a pretty jammed weekend for us. So I apologize. We will make an effort to do something on Monday. No promises, but that probably will be the only time that we can make up for the Sunday live stream will be on Monday. So we may end up doing Monday and Tuesday next week. We'll just have to see how things work out, how things formulate. But again, Sunday, unfortunately, we won't be able to get together with you. Now, last Sunday, I promised that we would do a deep dive on Tuesday and Thursday. I introduced to you on Tuesday, without doing a super deep dive, I introduced to you snake venom again, SPLA2-2A protein specifically that's in many of the pit viper snake venoms, and the relationship of snake venom to COVID-19. And so I gave you a broad overview on Tuesday. Tonight we're going to do the deeper dive. I have a couple of things here. We'll step back a little bit and review SPLA2-2A. I asked you, if you would, if you were so inclined on Tuesday, to begin looking for papers, scientific papers, regarding any research and development that was produced in peer-reviewed papers specific to inhibiting the actions of the SPLA2-2A proteins found in snake venom. And that would be from August of 2021 to August of this year, 1 year inclusive, because we referenced a paper from the University of Arizona on Tuesday regarding SPLA2. And let me quote the title of that paper very quickly for you. We won't go back through it. We won't spend the time to go back through it in detail, but from University of Arizona, August of 21. The title of this paper is "Like Venom Coursing Through the Body, Researchers Identify Mechanism Driving COVID-19 Mortality. Researchers have identified what may be the key molecular mechanism responsible for COVID-19 mortality, an enzyme related to neurotoxins found in rattlesnake venom." Now, this was published on 24 August. On the 1st of August, 2021, we published Entangled magazine releasing snake venom SPLA2-2A specific enzyme found in SARS-CoV-2, the virus. We then went through and presented several papers in that very long edition of the magazine, and we presented the process of reverse engineering from the side effects to snake venom, and side-by-side comparison and overlay of the list of side effects subsequent to the virus SARS-CoV-2, and likewise identical to the virus, the side effects, including mortality, morbidity and mortality, side effects of the vaccine. So we took the side effects of the vaccine, side effects of the virus, and compared it with the side effects of pit viper snake venom. Found all three overlaying identically. Essentially then, 24 August, University of Arizona published the same thing, the same conclusions that we came to on the 1st of August. Now, our conclusions were based on previous scientific research. This paper also is based upon previous scientific research. So we're comparing apples to apples and coming to the same conclusion. That they did it at the university, we did it here on Patch Airlines with all of you. Okay? And we thank you for your participation in leading us to papers and to patents that helped us flesh this out in the August edition of Entangled. I encourage you to go back and look at that magazine, because now we're diving even deeper into the snake venom. University of Queensland this time, subunit protein, adjuvants, what the adjuvant is made of, and what the adjuvant that University of Queensland has chosen for their vaccine that's in phase 3 human trials with the microneedle array patch. Remember, we went through all that on Sunday. That adjuvant that they've chosen is an adjuvant that is used as an anti-venom therapeutic against snake venom. It's an agonist. I should say, excuse me. It's an antagonist. It works against snake venom. It's a snake venom curative. It's an anti-venom. And I'm sort of teasing you a little bit by not naming that adjuvant the University of Queensland's including in their subunit protein-based vaccine for SARS-CoV-2 that will be delivered by the microneedle array patch, specifically the high-density microneedle array patch. Again, Sunday last week, we detailed all of this. We have new people that join us all the time. I'm trying to give them the benefit of catching up with us by just reaching back a few live streams and saying, what we're talking about now, we set the stage for Sunday, Tuesday, now Thursday. Okay? All of this will be in the September issue of Entangled magazine. So we're talking adjuvant. And I will be naming specifically, not just the material that it's made from, but the specific by name adjuvant that they're using. Okay? Now, let me take just a little bit of the University of Arizona paper, where they're identifying the mechanism, snake venom, regarding mortality for COVID-19, why people are dying, Let's just review this just quickly and then we'll move forward. An enzyme, which is SPLA2-2A, okay? An enzyme with an elusive role in severe inflammation may be a key mechanism driving COVID-19 severity and could provide a new therapeutic target to reduce COVID-19 mortality. Researchers at the University of Arizona, in collaboration with Stony Brook University and Wake Forest School of Medicine, analyzed blood samples from COVID-19 patients and found that circulation of the enzyme, the secreted phospholipase A2 group 2A, or SPLA2-2A, may be the most important factor in predicting which patients with severe COVID-19 eventually succumb to the virus. Okay, here's the punchline. The SPLA2-2A enzyme, which has similarities to an active enzyme in rattlesnake venom, is found in low concentrations in healthy individuals and has long been known to play a critical role in defense against bacterial infections by destroying microbial cell membranes. When the activated enzyme circulates at high levels, it has the capacity to shred the membranes of vital organs, said Floyd Chilton, the senior author of the paper and director of the University of Arizona Precision Nutrition and Wellness Initiative in the university's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Okay, so at low levels, it's therapeutic, but at high levels, which is what they're finding in the autopsies of the major organs of those that have died subsequent to the diagnosis of COVID-19, they've died from the virus SARS-CoV-2. They're talking virus only, not vaccine, okay? In high concentrations, it shreds the membranes of the vital organs, and this is what's killing people. It is exactly the same enzyme. Well, they're saying similarities, but then as they go deeper into the paper, they're saying it is exact. The enzyme is the same enzyme, and we have published from other researchers, and I want to reference that very quickly from Entangled Magazine in August of 2021. We have two papers, and I'll cite them by title, but I want to get to the primary author, Carlo Brogna. Carlo Brogna has identified the SPLA2-2A in the plasma and urine and feces samples from COVID-19 patients. He published this paper on 26 July 2021. It's peer-reviewed, published in the journal F1000 Research. Toxin-like peptides in plasma, urine, and feces samples from COVID-19 patients. We published the entire paper. We did that because we have seen a trending where smoking gun evidence like this disappears from the net. So we published the entire paper as it appeared, originally published in the journal, without modification, without excerpts, the evidence in its pristine form. We needed to preserve the evidence. Now, there's a second paper and let me get back to my table of contents. It's a very long magazine, so I don't want to have to scroll through everything. I'll go right to my table of contents. The second update on that first paper, increase of SARS-CoV-2 RNA load in Fecal samples, prompts for rethinking of SARS-CoV-2 biology and COVID-19 epidemiology. Followed by the modern trends in animal venom research, and then followed by peptides for specific intracellular delivery and targeting of nanoparticles, implications for delivering nanoparticle mediated drug delivery. Okay, and we go on with many others from there. There is stabilizing the integrity of snake venom messenger RNA stored under tropical field conditions expands research horizons. That's leading to the microneedle array delivery system. Okay, then we show that the snake venom toxins that target the nervous system. And then we show the effects of snake venom polypeptides on the central nervous system. All of these are the overlay, and I'll go one more paper, but overlaying to show the cross correlation of virus, vaccine, snake venom, all the same. Snake venom phospholipases A2 possess a strong virucidal activity against SARS-CoV-2 in vitro and block the cell fusion mediated by spike glycoprotein interaction with the ACE2 receptor. This is where they are using therapeutically, they're using the SPLA2-2A against snake venom, that phospholipase, as a therapeutic to prevent the joining of the spike protein of the virus with the healthy cell, okay? So when they talk about cell fusion, that's what they're thinking. But again, here's the punchline for tonight, okay? That's just a quick overview to get you into that magazine and read it in detail, especially new people here. Very important. I mean, this is equal to our revelation, scientifically peer-reviewed papers and patents, the smoking gun revelation that the DNA is being changed by the vaccines, all of them. What we're revealing to you, and we started in August of last year and we're following up now, the revelation of the inclusion of snake venom enzyme, the polylipases, easy way to say it, the enzymes, the SPLA2-2 that is found in snake venom is found in the patients diagnosed with COVID-19. The destruction of the cells, the shredding of the outer cell membrane, the plasma membrane, by this enzyme, as found in the University of Arizona, also found by Carlo Brogna, whom we highlighted last year, also shows the major organ failure in the vaccinated being identical to the major organ failure of those that have been diagnosed with COVID-19. The shredding of the major organs, the cells, the cell membrane, in the vaccinated is the same as those that have contracted the virus. How can that be? Just as important as the changing of the DNA is the inclusion of this enzyme in the vaccine. This is being found with all of the vaccines, because the same effects are occurring now in millions of people. Major organ failure. So this is drilling down. We've been focused on, everybody's been focused on the glycoprotein 120 spike protein. including the University of Queensland that we've been highlighting so much, focused on using a subunit protein to prevent the changing of the shape of the spike protein into an elongated form, which then allows for cell entry. This is going at a level deeper than just talking about the spike protein of the coronavirus. Now we're getting into the man-specified inclusion of this enzyme. When we talked about changing of the DNA, we were talking about genomic fragments of HIV-1 that were man included, a man-directed inclusion of those fragments of genes, or genomic fragment of the overall sequence of the virus, HIV-1, in SARS-CoV-2, integrated, changing the DNA. Likewise, we're now moving beyond the spike protein down into the discussion of this snake venom enzyme that is included in the vaccines. And we know that by doing the reverse engineering. There is a very well-known, very common used process in genetic modification. It's called gene reverse engineering. And I'll go into that a little bit later. But reverse engineering is common in molecular biology. You can go from the effects, be they positive or negative, side effects or effects of a proposed therapeutic, like a vaccine, and work backwards and look at it genetically. Look at its sequence, look at the genes, look at the ones that are moved out of sequence from the original sequence of the virus, or activated or deactivated or enhanced. So reverse engineering is a proper methodology in molecular biology, and we've been applying that here with you on several occasions specific to the snake venom. Now, I wanted to give you the punchline. I needed to do the setup, but here's the punchline for tonight. In discussing the adjuvant included in the University of Queensland's candidate vaccine, remember, it's slated to be delivered, administered by way of the high density microneedle array patch. And it's even being proposed as a single solution. Here we are calling it the final solution. But it's being proposed by University of Queensland as a single solution to the original SARS virus, SARS-CoV-2, and its Omicron and Delta and other variants. We offered that as an expectation to you over 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, I want to say 3 years ago, we presented it as an expectation that at some point they would offer, through the microneedle array patch, a vaccine that they would consider to be a final solution. Well, here's what University of Queensland is doing. They're proposing it as a single vaccine that will cover all of these. So that sets the background for the punchline. Remember problem, reaction, solution. I'll give you a different slant on the problem of the vaccines. The different slant is now the narrative, we're calling it the mainstream narrative, the global agreed upon narrative, the script that everybody follows, pharmaceutical companies, mainstream media, government officials, the same script. Okay. The script now is to Point the finger of blame, the problem. Point the finger of blame at the pharmaceutical companies. I began to talk about this on Tuesday, but I'm going deeper with it now. The pharmaceutical companies, I said on Tuesday, they don't care to be the villain this time around. They've made their billions. They've completed their assignment. Remember, the whole reason for any of the vaccines is to change the DNA. It's always been about the DNA, and it will continue to always be about the DNA. Therefore, the vaccine itself, its ingredients, its effects, other than changing the DNA, which is the same with every vaccine, the side effects, doesn't matter whether it's beneficial side effects or detrimental side effects, that's all irrelevant. Pharmaceutical companies don't care whether it's good or bad for people. They just needed to have a reason, an excuse to stick a needle in somebody's deltoid muscle and deliver that which would integrate with the host DNA and change it, along with the nanoscale technological components that comprise the actual mark of the beast. So they've achieved their goal with the majority of humanity. You see, the title of tonight's live stream is Even the Elect, and we'll get to Matthew 24 verses 20 through 25 in just a moment. But I want to finish the punchline. We're building to it. The problem now in the mainstream narrative agreed upon script is to point the finger of blame for all of the deaths, all of the negative side effects, put the blame on the pharmaceutical companies. And they don't care to be villainized. They don't care. Because now there's already the reaction. You know, I've had many conversations this week with many of you by way of phone and by Skype, and I have many more scheduled for tomorrow. There have been many of you that have said, in the alternative media in general, there's this discussion going on that seems to be rising to fever pitch, that more and more people are waking up, even the vaccinated, they're waking up to the problems with the vaccines, all of the vaccines for SARS-CoV-2. And that perhaps we can put a stop to the vaccines. Perhaps we can put a stop even to the mark of the beast. Because people are waking up. Well, this is the reaction in problem, reaction, solution. Certainly, we do want people to get the word out and stop taking any more vaccines for those that have taken one or two or three. Stop. Even though the DNA has been changed permanently and the nanoparticles are in the body, which cannot be reversed, cannot be extracted or excreted, the damage has been done. We pray for them. But certainly for the holdouts, the unvaccinated, providing them even more information, if that's part of people waking up, fine. But recognize from 144,000 feet, our cruising altitude on Patch Airlines, the big picture is, this is all planned and predicted, again, by AI driven by quantum computing at this level. This is all planned and predicted in terms of human behavior that people will somehow wake up and they'll react and they'll point the finger of blame at the pharmaceutical companies. That's by design that people are waking up. This is why you see the doctors and the PhDs and the so forth trotted out, as I call them, carnival barkers in these conferences. This is why they're paid disinformation agents. They are there to function to create this so-called awakening to push back against the pharmaceutical companies. That's the reaction of problem, reaction, solution. Their standard modus operandi. So if people are wondering, how are they waking up? Well, it's these conferences. Well, is that a good thing? Well, understand there may be a sliver of beneficial action as a result of these conferences and people on YouTube land and BitChute and other platforms supposedly being whistleblowers against the vaccines. But to a person, they're probably, I would say with a high degree of certainty, none of them are saying it's the mark of the beast. They're only talking about the secular scientific. They won't go to the spiritual and say, in addition to changing the DNA, in addition to the side effects, it's delivering the components of the mark of the beast. They won't go to the latter. But that serves the purpose. This is why I call them disinformation agents. It serves the purpose of stirring up people, even with a sliver of beneficial awareness, that it stops the people at so far that have been refusing the vaccine to continue to refuse the vaccine. Obviously, that's a good thing, but that's a very small percentage of the overall net effect of disinformation. And what is that effect? It's to create a reaction, specifically a negative reaction in people, to now point the finger of blame for all the ills that people are waking up to and all the ills that these disinformation agents are bringing out. And they are valid in the sense that the information as to the damage that the vaccines are doing is correct, is truthful. 90% of what they will present as a disinformation agent is correct information. But the 10% is where they lead people astray. In this specific discussion of problem, reaction, solution, that 10% that they are not telling people, that they're not divulging, that they're not being upfront and transparent about, is that the information, 90% that they've been given, is going to cause people to react. To react negatively against the pharmaceutical companies. Now let me pause. I know we're all thinking, well, why is that bad? We've all been saying that what the pharmaceutical companies are doing with respect to these vaccines is wrong. You have to appreciate that this is a psychological operation. It's like Mark Twain said, and I love this quote, and I hope I'm citing it accurately. When he was asked by a reporter, doesn't it make you angry to see the negative press that you're receiving in the papers? Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. Twain's response to the question was, well, just make sure that they spell my name correctly. The moral of the story there is, it's all publicity. Whether it's negative press or positive press, His name is being put in front of people. So it's all publicity. See, that's an example of 10%. That's psychological manipulation. This is stirring people up, giving them the 90% that is factual and truthful, but the 10% is not warning people that as you get angry and you point the finger at the pharmaceutical companies, you need to understand the psychological reaction by Joe Bag of Donuts. The average person would get caught up in the emotions of anger as more and more information bubbles up about what these pharmaceutical companies are doing to humanity, DNA and Mark of the Beast. Because when people are angry, when they're fearful and they're pointing the finger at the pharmaceutical companies, they're shifting down to the brainstem level, remember? There's no critical thinking going on. There's only instinctual thinking. We must maintain our ability to think critically, to see the big picture, to see what's going on behind the veil, behind the curtain. So we don't buy into the reaction is what I'm saying. We recognize the information regarding what is being revealed about the vaccines, same as we're doing here. We recognize that information. But we have to rise above psychologically the anger and the fear and the frustration, which even I have expressed here. It takes a conscious effort to pull back and say, wait, people are being manipulated to the extent that they're reacting in anger. They're no longer able to see that they themselves are victims. They are subjects. They are pawns in getting them to react. Because the net effect is they stop thinking. Now, what is the net effect of not thinking in this reaction part of problem, reaction, solution? The net effect of not thinking is not appreciating, not understanding the solution that is then offered by the same people that created the problem. The same people that understood how humanity psychologically will behave. Those same people offering now over here the solution. Because without being able to stop and see the big picture and think critically about the solution, it's too easy to say, that solution, it's a miracle. It's a wonder. This vaccine, and we're picking on University of Queensland, but they're not alone in this. But hey, here's the high-density microneedle array patch. It's super convenient. Remember? Marketing and advertising. It's super convenient. It'll be mailed to you. It does not need refrigeration. You can apply it yourself. No need to visit the doctor. You can just hear the commercial. And as a bonus, it'll take care of all the variants and the original virus to SARS-CoV-2. What a miracle this is. Such that even the elect could be deceived. You see, there's a real danger here in the reaction. And this is even within the church community. This is within the so-called Christian denominations and their conferences. It could even be individual pastors saying, a miracle. It'll take care of all of the problems regarding the virus and its variants, but it also does away with the villains. You see, the reaction is against the pharmaceutical companies. And now you have people saying, ooh, this eliminates all of the vaccines from the pharmaceutical companies across the board. It'll be sold as, hey, it doesn't change the DNA. Hey, it doesn't deliver the technological components, the nanomaterials of the mark of the beast. That even the elect could be deluded in this reaction mode. Remember, they're fearful, they're angry, they're not thinking critically. That even the elect that up to this point have refused to take any vaccine, because they might even think that it's delivering the mark of the beast, if they have that part of the information. But the emphasis is on the changing of the DNA. But even if they don't hear about that, the emphasis is on major organ failure, strokes, heart attacks, death. The focus is all on that by the so-called carnival barkers, the so-called whistleblowers, the 90% information. And it gets everybody stirred up and angry. And that's exactly when the solution is presented by the same people that created the problem. They get to people psychologically when they are least capable of thinking critically. That's when they're going to go after, even the elect. And they may be lacking the information that all of you already have, lacking the information to then stop and think critically in the moment and say, well, okay, good, we're going to get rid of all these vaccines that to date have done all this damage and caused all these deaths. Good, let's get rid of that. But wait a second, do you have the information about this so-called final solution that includes messenger RNA, that integrates with the host DNA and changes the DNA? And then, do you have the information about the technological nanoscale materials that are being delivered on that final solution, in that final solution, by way of the high-density microneedle array patch? Do you have that information? You see, they're not going to be thinking critically. They're up here reacting. They're not looking at, wait a second, does it change the DNA? Does it deliver the mark of the beast? That's not in the mindset, because they're not thinking critically. That even the elect could be deceived into thinking that this final solution is not dangerous. It's not coming from the rank and file bad guys, pharmaceutical companies. No, it's coming from the University of Queensland or some other outlet, because there will be more than just their vaccine that will be offered as the final solution. This is why it was so important when I presented the initial conjecture about their subunit protein-based vaccine utilizing Hexapro as their subunit protein, okay, 6 prolines, to arrest the reshaping of the spike protein so it would not enter the cell. That subunit protein, my conjecture was, I suspect that they're not telling us that it also includes messenger RNA. We produced 3 peer-reviewed scientific papers, published it, and showed that it does include messenger RNA. Therefore, it is the same in the biological mechanism as all of the preceding vaccines by the other pharmaceutical companies, because the messenger RNA results in the changing of the DNA. And they're not admitting to the technological components of the Mark of the Beast, the nanoscale materials that are concurrently being delivered. But we know they are. Again, we've shown you the papers over the last few years that show that, those materials, quantum dots, graphene oxide, luciferase, and hydrogels are in all of the vaccines. This is also including the University of Queensland and any other formulation that will be similar, that will be a protein-based. Again, it will be advertised to the average rank and file, including the elect, that it's protein-based vaccine. It's different from all of these other vaccines, so it's safe. No, it's not safe. It's not different, because it does change the DNA, and it includes the technological nanoscale materials of the Mark of the Beast. Again, that's all refresher. That's to bring new people up to speed. Now we're up to speed. Now we understand the problem, reaction, solution. Now we understand that there is a solution that they are going to offer, calling it a protein-based vaccine. But let's go deeper. We're thinking critically here. Let's go deeper into this discussion of this solution. What are they including in addition to the nanoscale materials of the Mark of the Beast? And on the biological DNA side, the messenger RNA, what are they using for an adjuvant? Remember, an adjuvant is used to increase the immunogenicity of both the vaccine's subunit protein itself to work in conjunction with that, the adjuvant and subunit protein, so there is a more robust response by the immune system in producing antibodies. Okay? Without the adjuvant, you would get a lower response by the immune system, fewer and weaker antibodies. So they enhance it with an adjuvant. So we're down here at the adjuvant detail level. Finally, we're at the punchline. If what I've already said wasn't enough of a punchline, here's a deeper punchline. Let's call it a sub-punchline. Immune-enhancing properties of the novel Matrix-M, okay, that's a trade name, Matrix-M adjuvant leads to potentiated immune responses to an influenza vaccine in mice. The novel saponin-based adjuvant Matrix-M was recently used in phase one study in seasonal influenza in the elderly, okay? This is a paper that was published January of 2013 in the trade journal Vaccine. Okay? 2013. Saponin. That's where we're going deep. Saponin. This is the sub punchline. What is being used by the University of Queensland along with Hexapro is Matrix M. Hexapro is the protein that stops the reconfiguration of the spike protein. It's a proline. I should be more specific. Six prolines that frees the conformation, the shape of the spike protein, so it won't enter the cell. So prolines, Hexapro. In addition to the Hexapro, they're adding Matrix M. saponin. It's also known as soap bark tree or the fruit of the saponin tree. Now you need to stay with me. This isn't going to be super technical and hard to understand, but it takes us down a rabbit hole. I have two rabbits here at home, so two rabbit holes. We're going pretty deep here. Saponin, as the sub punchline, saponin will be offered as the solution to the villainous discovery, the villainous revelation that snake venom, SPLA2-2A, is in all the vaccines. In the vilification of the pharmaceutical makers of the vaccines, something that is understandable by Joe Bag of Donuts, that even the carnival barkers in their 90% of truth that they're presenting, stirring people up, getting them to react, they're talking about what we presented back in August and we all of July talked about in the live streams in 2021. They're now beating that drum louder and harder that there is snake venom. That's what Joe Bag of Donuts can understand. There's snake venom in the vaccines. Those bad pharmaceutical companies. And that the effects, the negative effects of the vaccines can be blamed on snake venom. Because it's in the vaccines. Because it's in the virus. To be a vaccine, it must be identical to the virus. Otherwise, it's not a vaccine. You find the snake venom in the virus, you find it in the vaccines. So the average Joe Bag of Donuts is hearing, snake venom, hearing it in the alternative media, and it's all over YouTube land, and it's in BitChute, and it's on Facebook if they allow it, and the mainstream narrative. I think even Fox News recently, a couple of weeks ago, was saying, hey, we're finding snake venom in the vaccines. That's targeted at reaction. That's to get people fearful and angry, to shut down their critical thinking just in time. Just in time delivery. There it is on the screen. Just in time delivery. You've heard that in supply chain discussions, just-in-time delivery. That's the Achilles heel to the supply chain because it takes out the warehouses. 30 years ago, it was commonplace to bring things in from overseas and put them in warehouses or manufacture things domestically. Put them in warehouses and have vast backlogs of supply in warehouses. That's been done away with. That's why we have the supply chain failure, is just-in-time delivery. It bypasses using, for the most part, it takes it from manufacturer into the shipping channels and right to the retailers, bypassing warehousing. But in this application of just-in-time delivery, we're talking about everybody getting hyped up and then the delivery, just-in-time, a final solution that does not have snake venom. So, University of Queensland Matrix M adjuvant is based on the saponin tree, the bark and the fruit of the soap tree, as it's often called, often referred to. Saponin as the adjuvant. Matrix M has been around for many years. It's been used, it's safe, it's effective, It's proven itself as a safe adjuvant. That's not the issue. The issue is it's like they're turning it around 180 degrees. Where have you heard that before? Because now they're taking something, saponin, Matrix M, that is safe. You look at the literature, it's safe. We don't have whistleblower doctors running around saying, hey, there's a problem with saponin, it's toxic. No. But there, you need to appreciate this. In our last live stream, let me look at my list here. The cunning of Satan, right? Isn't it just like Satan to take something that is proven to be safe and effective, which is the saponin-based Matrix M adjuvant, that it does as advertised. It does enhance the production of antibodies by the immune system, the innate immune system. So where am I finding fault with the application, the inclusion of Matrix M with the University of Queensland subunit protein vaccine? It's because they will advertise, they will promote, and again, this is to Joe Bag of Donuts. This is safe, a safe adjuvant. No toxic effects. So you have a final solution vaccine that takes care of the original virus and all of its variants. Joe Bag of Donuts goes, ooh, that sounds great. It's a protein-based. That sounds great. And it has something in it that's proven and safe. Matrix M, you can hear the advertising, the voiceover, and it has the special Matrix M active ingredient in it. They won't call it adjuvant because Joe Bag of Donuts won't understand that. But it has the exclusive active ingredient, Matrix M, that is proven to be safe and effective. And all Joe Bag of Donuts hears is safe and effective. Protein-based. Even the elect perhaps would hear that, because they're in that reactive mode. Something that is safe will be used to promote something that is not safe. I'll say it again. Matrix M, which is safe, will be used to promote something that is not safe. What is not safe is the messenger RNA that's included with the subunit protein that does change the DNA, and the ingredients include the nanoscale technological components comprising the mark of the beast. So they will take something that is not a DNA-based, not a RNA-based vaccine, but a protein-based vaccine. And in fact, all of the fear that is generated by the carnival barker saying there's snake venom in the vaccines. Again, 90%, it's true. But what's the purpose in revealing that in the manner and in the timing? It's always about the timing. That the disinformation agents say, snake venom, snake venom, snake venom. Reaction, reaction. At a specific time. And now we're seeing the information in a specific, timely, ordered, specified time. The information about the University of Queensland's subunit protein vaccine. that includes a saponin-based matrix M, which is safe. What has saponin been used for? Yes, it's used as an adjuvant to enhance a vaccine's effectiveness, its immunogenicity. But saponin, the soap bark of the saponin tree, is used in treating victims of envenomation. So Joe Bag of Donuts, hearing the carnival barkers saying, snake venom, snake venom. Okay, problem, reaction, solution. They bring forth the solution and say, those bad pharmaceutical companies, they were using snake venom, specifically the enzyme SPLA2-2A. Those bad companies. So here's a solution to the snake venom problem. Just as they offer a solution to the RNA and DNA problem that the carnival barkers jump up and down about. Well, they hide the fact that messenger RNA is still included. And they certainly are not saying, Matrix M is the solution to the inclusion of the snake venom enzyme. University of Queensland's not going to address the snake venom topic. But they're using the saponin-based matrix M because it is the final solution. Those that are promoting this final solution will bring forth the saponin ingredient of matrix M, which is the entirety of matrix M, and say, yes, those bad pharmaceutical companies were including an enzyme from snake venom, and they shouldn't have been doing that. But now we have an alternative that does not have snake venom. In fact, we have the anti-venom material in this vaccine, and it's from a soap tree. Can you hear the commercial? Can you hear the voiceover? It's like a Tide detergent or an all detergent commercial. Soap is in the vaccine, and soap is good to Joe Bag of Donuts. Proteins, soap, bad pharmaceutical companies. Here's the solution. And I'm reacting. I'm not thinking critically. So, sure, go ahead. Mail me one of those patches. I'll slap it on tomorrow. Perhaps even the elect could be thus deceived. So that's a very long punchline. I acknowledge that. Let's go to scripture. Matthew 24, verses 20 through 25. Okay? Pray that your flight will not occur in the winter or on the Sabbath. Again, very familiar scripture being applied in the modern scientific context. For at that time there will be great tribulation, unmatched from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be seen again. If those days had not been cut short, that's done by the Lord, okay? If those days had not been cut short, nobody would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Verse 23, at that time, if anyone says to you, quote, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders that would deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you in advance. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're telling you in advance. This is an expectation. False prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders. Problem, reaction, solution. Here's the solution. It's protein. It's soap. It goes against the pharmaceutical companies. Here's the good guy's solution. And you don't need a needle. Here, just put the patch on. Great signs and wonders. Being promoted like a soap commercial. And wonders that would deceive even the elect. And this is the most insidious part of this, in my opinion. Because look at the great push that has occurred within, especially the evangelical community. The huge push. To deceive the elect that have not taken the vaccine. We have deceiving pastors and ministers leading congregations who will not take the time to look at even at a rudimentary level the scientific evidence that all of you have heard us present and read in the pages of Entangled Magazine. They don't even take a cursory look at it. Why? Because they're under orders. They're under influence. They won't reveal the truth. And the carnival barkers that go out there and put on these conferences and are all over alternative media. Same people on different shows, different interviews, different programs. Same people over and over. Why? They're there to deceive the elect. Satan knows that the strongest holdouts against taking the mark of the beast are the elect. So where is the greatest pressure going to be applied? Psychologically, through peer pressure in the churches, pressure by pastors who are being disingenuous, pressure by employers, pressure by government officials restricting through driver's licenses, being able to fly from one state to the other here in the United States. Remember, the enhanced driver's license in March of next year. Okay? All of the pressures that are applied from family members, from neighbors, from friends. The pressures are tremendous, and they are especially acute targeting the elect. This is why we are sounding the warning to the elect. You especially need this scientific information from a spiritual perspective. This is being driven by Satan to make it appear inert, safe, effective. This is, and I'm going to put this on the screen, this is the normalizing. Here, I'll put it right up at the top. This is to normalize. Remember all of the hue and cry about let's return to normal. This is the normalization of a vaccine directed at the elect to say we have something that is not DNA and RNA based. And we have something that is going to be an anti-venom against the acknowledged ingredients derived from pit vipers that is included in the virus and in all of the vaccines. We have a solution to that. It's called soap bark, Matrix M, saponin. And it's been used, saponin has been used as a natural antivenom, a naturopathic antivenom. You see how this is going to be sold? It sounds so good. It's a natural cure that has been proven as an adjuvant to be safe and effective when added to as a vaccine. So the revelations about what the pharmaceutical companies have included in their vaccines, the revelation as the damage done to the bodies, the revelations of snake venom SPLA-2A coming out of the university studies, in the trade scientific journals, all of that coming out, and the elect are hearing it from whom they consider to be trustworthy sources. They've got all kinds of letters after their names and pedigrees from universities and medical practices and awards and high praise. No wonder even the elect could be deceived. In that moment of reaction that is planned out well in advance, that suppresses critical thinking. Critical thinking that leads to the ability to sit still for 2 hours and listen to someone like me present the truth. To sit still long enough and read through the pages of Entangled Magazine, the scientific factual evidence from science itself, to reveal the truth of what is going on, including the final solution. To sit still long enough and take it to the Lord in prayer and be quiet and listen to that still small voice that gives you, as the elect, the discernment to think critically and to understand that even this final solution delivered by a microneedle or a patch is to be absolutely pushed away and refused, up to and including death itself, to refuse it. You have to, because it is your eternity, your destiny that is at stake, at risk. You all know this. But I'm offering to you who know all this already and have known it for a long time, everything that I just presented tonight, except maybe the saponin discussion of Matrix M. You have the expectation of what is to come. It is the pressure against the elect. That includes you and me here. Tremendous pressure spiritually and from the secular world. Tremendous pressure is coming. But don't be disheartened by this. Remember, the Lord works to protect us. We are under His wing. We are under His shadow of protection. We will always be a step ahead. We will always be rising above in our abilities, starting with the knowledge that He presents to you. It says right in Revelation, knowledge will increase in these days. You have the knowledge. You will continue to increase in knowledge. That knowledge keeps you a step ahead and above everything that is coming, everything that will be applied to you. You need to be prayed up. You need to focus on that full armor of God. This is a clear and present danger. You can see it. You know it. It's tangible. It's already happening. It's ramping up. The more that this is presented, this protein-based vaccine and the microneedle array patch, the more that is presented, you know spiritually first, you are going to be under attack. Be ready for it. You also know in the secular world, you will be under attack. They are trying to normalize this final solution vaccine to return the world to normal. It's very normal to apply an adhesive bandage to a wound. They're normalizing that through the microneedle array patch. I've said that they're trying to make it convenient. That also is the normalizing of it. That is the pressure, that even the elect could be deceived by something that seems so normal, so natural, so naturopathic. Let's go deeper into this opponent. Anti-snake venom activities of extracts and fractions from callus cultures of Sapundus saponaria. Okay? This is from Pharmaceutical Biology from 2012. Animal venoms, including snake venoms, embody a complex mixture of toxic enzymes. In Brazil, Bothrops and Crotalus snakes are responsible for most envenomations, which mainly induce local tissue damage and systemic effects, including alterations in blood clotting, neurotoxicity, and shock. The victim's metabolic response to the venom's components varies with the species of the snake, the volume of venom injected, and the species of the bite recipient. That would be animals. The primary purpose of the venom is not to kill, but rather to immobilize the prey and pre-digest its tissues. Okay? So, Bothrops. This is where we were highlighting in August of 2021, the research done regarding the Bothrops snake venom in particular. The toxins of the Bothrops snake venom affects mainly the muscle tissues and blood clotting, and symptoms include pain, swelling, and bleeding. And in cases where complications can occur, blisters, gangrene, shock, and acute renal failure. Okay? Vegetal extracts constitute an alternative for treatment, displaying a large diversity of chemical compounds with several pharmacological activities of medical scientific interest. A large number of extracts have been prepared and showed excellent anti-venom activities. Sapindus saponaria, that's saponilla, bark, root, and fruits are used as sedatives against gastric ulcer and demonstrate diuretic, that's to promote urination, diuretic and expectorant effects. Expectorant means to vomit, okay? Other studies show the presence of lipids and flavonoids in this plant, characterizing it as a chemical complex with several scientifically important properties. Saponins present in the fruits and are related to several activities such as, I won't go through all of them, but anti-inflammatory, analgesic, expectorant, antioxidant, spermicide, cholesterol lowering, and antibiotic and antifungal. The saponalia inhibit the hemorrhagic activity induced by pit viper venom, and some compounds such as catechins, flavonoids, anthocyanins, and condensed tannins have been identified by chemical analysis suggesting their involvement in the inhibitory effect observed, probably acting on the chelation of the zinc ion, which is required for the activity of metalloproteases. And we'll get into metalloproteases a little bit. Okay. Hundreds of plants are reported to have anti-ophidian activities. Ophidian means serpent. Okay, so anti-serpent activities. Although only a few of these have been scientifically studied, with the isolation of components and investigations regarding structure and function relationships. This study shows the activity of extracts from callus of saponaria. Now, callus means the de-differentiation of a plant. So remember, we talked about stem cells. Those are undifferentiated cells. Differentiation of a cell means it now becomes a specific type of cell. That could be a liver cell, a kidney cell, a cardiac cell, a neuron. That means the cell that once was a stem cell is now differentiated into a specific type of cell. So there is a reverse of that, which is called dedifferentiation, which is the reverse engineering, say, from a kidney cell and determining the stem cell from which it was differentiated. So if you have liver cancer or kidney cancer, being able to identify the stem cell that produced that cancerous superactive growing of a kidney cell, for example, then you can utilize that stem cell to treat by targeting those cancer cells and destroying them using the stem cell. Okay, so reverse engineering, as I said at the beginning, is a common practice in molecular biology. Even more specific is the reverse engineering with respect to the genes, the sequence of the genes, and the sequence of their base pair nucleotides, sequencing of them, okay? So without getting too far off on a tangent, this is the de-differentiating, the reverse engineering of the saponella soap bark or soap fruit tree, okay? So understanding its origin and its actions, the activity of the extracts from the dedifferentiated, otherwise known as callus, of this tree, and its major active compound, which is stigmasterol, in the inhibition of pharmacological and toxic effects of snake venoms and isolated proteins from the Bothrus genera, the family of Bothrus, okay? Hemorrhagic, myotoxic, and phospholipase A activities were assayed as previously described in the paper. PLA, which they are summarizing using PLA rather than SPLA2-2A, PLA, okay? PLA belong to a superfamily of enzymes that cleave phospholipids from the cell membrane into fatty acids and lysophospholipids. This reaction is calcium dependent In this paper, we use an experiment that uses phospholipase dicloline from egg yolk in an agar plate. That's in a petri dish. The agar is the growth material, the growth substance in the petri dish. So they go on to detail that. I won't bore you with it. Both the venom, such as PLA, causes lysis in muscle cells. That means the rupturing of the cells, the muscle cells. The presence of hemorrhage, local and systemic, is common in snake bites. This effect is due principally to the presence of the venom of zinc-dependent metalloproteases. Again, I'll go into metal proteases in a little bit here. These enzymes act by damaging the endothelium of capillaries and plasma extravasation. Now, extravasation is the leaking of fluid, so the leaking of the blood out of the blood vessels. Okay? The endothelium is the lining, the cells that line a blood vessel, whether it's an artery, a cell, or a capillary. And when you damage those cells, the vessel becomes leaky. Okay? So that's extravasation. So the leaves of the saponella were successfully established, resulting in material with uniform characteristics. The significant inhibition of the PLA, the enzyme, activity by the saponella extracts and the obtained fractions. The mechanisms of action of the anti-ophidian, the anti-serpent substances that have been previously studied are still unknown, but interactions with catalytic sites on specific venom proteins are suggested to be involved. All right, again, I'm just taking excerpts here. So, metalloproteases, these act in damaging the endothelium, the cells lining the blood vessels, okay? That's the action, the damaging action of metalloproteases. Let's talk a little bit about those. On Tuesday, I introduced you to ADAM, A-D-A-M, the acronym for Adamylicins in COVID-19. Let me get a definition here. The acronym ADAM stands for a disintegrin and metalloprotease. Don't worry, it'll be in the magazine. So the adamylicins in COVID, that includes the metalloproteases. The metalloproteases are what break down the lining of the blood vessels post-envenomation. This is one of the side effects of the vaccines as well as the virus SARS-CoV-2. Again, reverse engineering from the side effects. We can then identify the ingredients in the vaccine that they're not sharing with us. Cause and effect. It's a logical progression. You identify the problem and then you identify the source of the problem, the etiology. You're seeing blood vessels that are leaking? What's causing it? This is what doctors do all the time when they're trying to diagnose your problem. So we're talking about ADAMs in COVID-19, potential mechanisms behind exacerbating the disease. This is from Biomedicine and Pharmacotherapy. This was published in the journal this year. I'm looking for the specific date. Let's see. It was published April 15th of this year. So they're looking at COVID-19 and they're looking at the mechanisms that are exacerbating, that are increasing the effects of the disease. What's making it worse is what is exacerbating. The coronavirus disease, COVID-19, caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus in a current pandemic that has resulted in nearly 250 million cases and over 5 million deaths. While vaccines have been developed to prevent infection and most COVID-19 cases end up being fairly light, there are severe cases of COVID-19 that may end up in death, even with adequate healthcare treatment. New options to combat this disease's effects, therefore, could prove to be invaluable in saving lives. Adamylicins are proteins that have several roles in regulating different functions in the human body, but are also known to have functions in inflammation. They are also known to have roles in several current diseases, including COVID-19, where ADAM17 in particular is now well known to have a prominent role, but also several diseases which include comorbidities that may worsen cases of COVID-19. Therefore, investigating the functions of adamylicins in disease may give us clues to the molecular workings of COVID-19 as well as potentially new therapeutic targets. Understanding these molecular mechanisms may also allow for an understanding of the mechanisms behind the rare severe side effects that occur in response to current COVID-19 vaccines. I'm going to read that last statement again. The understanding of the mechanisms behind the rare severe side effects that occur in response to current COVID-19 vaccines. They're not just talking virus. They're talking about severe side effects to the vaccines in totality, which may lead to better monitoring measures for people who may be more at risk to developing these side effects. This review investigates the known roles and functions of adamylicins in disease, including what is currently known of their involvement in COVID-19 and how these functions might be involved. A few adamylicin proteins have been demonstrated to have roles in COVID-19, especially ADAM17, which has been demonstrated to have a key role in the disease pathogenesis. Our search of the literature also identified many roles that adamylicins have in pathogenic processes that are also found in COVID-19 and thus could potentially have roles in this disease and prove to be valuable therapeutic targets. ADAM metalloproteases, which are typically membrane-anchored enzymes and closely related to snake venom metalloproteases, are also known as shedders due to most of their substrates being membrane-bound precursors such as growth factors, chemokines, adhesion molecules, and their receptors, and only a very few ECM components. Okay, so ADAM17 is being shown to be a key factor in shedding of the virus. Okay, along with the comorbidities that people are experiencing. In other words, the major organ failures, including death. Metalloproteases are being found in COVID-19 patients. Metalloproteases are atoms. They're specifically atom 17, which is found normally occurring at low levels in the human body. But in the case of victims of COVID-19, diagnosed as COVID-19, they're finding heightened levels of atom 17 that shouldn't be there. Atom 17 at higher levels as a metalloprotease, its presence at a high level can be directly correlated to the SPLA2-2A of snake venom. So let's go back to 144,000 feet. Let's take a deep breath here. They want to promote saponin to correct what they're revealing here, to correct the effects of snake venom. The mechanism of correction for the snake venom is, number one, those that are already vaccinated, they will be told to once again be vaccinated, but this time with a protein-based vaccine that includes Matrix M saponin, because they will claim that the saponin will act the same way it acts with someone who is envenomated, that it will correct the actions of the venom in the vaccines that they've already received. They will apply the logic, the normalization, as I have on the screen, the normalizing for Joe Bag of Donuts to get vaccinated, get vaccinated, get vaccinated, get vaccinated. To him, to her, that's normal now. That's normal life. That's return to normal, to get your booster shots. So here's the final solution, booster shot, Joe Bag of Donuts. It'll take care of SARS-CoV-2 as a virus and all of its variants and all of the expected variants going forward. That's how they'll sell it. This is the expectation. And by the way, you that have been vaccinated, unfortunately, it's come to light that you have snake venom in you. So we're offering the solution in this one package, the microneedle array patch. We're offering you this solution to that snake venom that unfortunately was delivered by those bad pharmaceutical companies. Here is a better vaccine, a new booster that includes soap bark, an anti-venom, a natural anti-venom. Ooh, it sounds good, sounds naturopathic. Okay, even the elect might even be deceived into taking it. That's the first approach to the vaccinated. They're trying to do a 180 on this. Wonder where they got that from. Hey, we've got the solution. Sorry, there's snake venom in the vaccines that you already took, but we have the cure. We have an anti-venom. Sounds warm and fuzzy. So that's the majority of humanity that they'll be targeting. The vaccinated. What about the unvaccinated? You know where that's going. Hey, here's a safe and effective vaccine for COVID-19. It's natural. They're trying to take what's been programmed into people in the process of normalization. The whole normalization of naturopathic. I have nothing against naturopathic medicine. But it's being turned around 180 degrees and building upon people who have been turning to natural cures and therapies and saying, hey, here's a natural material. It's from the soap bark tree. It'll take care of you. And it's not RNA and DNA based like those other bad vaccines. It's based on a protein. Doesn't that sound natural to you? Soap, protein, protein, soap, Joe Bag of Donuts, not thinking critically, in reaction mode, they offer the solution. You know it ahead of time. I'm going to go right back to scripture. I mean, this is so beautiful. Matthew 24, verse 25. See, I have told you in advance. God's been warning us. God's increasing the knowledge. He gave us the truth in the Word. All we have to do is read it and apply it in the modern day context. And it reveals so much. And for the elect here, it's to help prevent you from being deceived. I realize that that's in the context, in the verses, it's in Matthew, it's warning against those that profess to be the Christ, specifically the Antichrist. You all know how to identify the Antichrist. When he's presented to the world as Christ, as the Messiah, you will already know that he is the Antichrist. But we're extending that even further to the Mark of the Beast discussion. Because that's the whole reason for all of the vaccines in the first place, is to change the DNA, which changes a person's name, which removes their name from the book of life, and God disavows any recognition of that person. That is the damnation of their soul to perdition for all eternity. And it delivers the mark of the beast, which is necessary to function in the beast system under the Antichrist. We are commanded in Scripture to not be a part of this world, to refuse this world. The separating of the wheat and the tares is underway right now and has been now for at least 3 years, almost 4 years. The separation has been underway. We're very close to the revealing of the Antichrist. First, they need to bring on the reset. And you've heard all about that from us. Then the Antichrist. To give you a sense of the timing of how close we are to that revelation. But we will not be deceived because we have the Word to give us the expectations, to be told, to be warned ahead of time. That's what we're all engaged in here together. We are warning each other with factual, truthful information. I think we'll close on that note, folks. I thank you for listening. I thank you for your conversations on a personal level that we have. I thank you for the emails and the research that you do for us. Your contribution to all of the research and reporting that's happening here. Thank you all. God bless you all. And good night.